Welcome back to the Me Suite. I'm Donna Peters. If you continue to love what you're hearing, leave us a 5-star rating and review. It really keeps us alive out here. Let's get in there. Today, I am in the studio with Vicky Anstey, who is joining us from London. And I may be in the Me Suite with the world's most interesting person. Vicky, welcome to the Me Suite. Let's dive right in.
Thank you so much for having me. Gosh, I hope I can live up to even that short headline.
So let me give the listeners a little bit of a peek of who we're going to have a chance to sit with today. So quick, rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Did you start your career more traditionally in marketing and advertising?
I did, yes.
Did you then later go on and run your own business in the physical fitness space for about 12 years?
I did.
Was that business basically cut short because of COVID?
Yep.
Did you exit what you described as a limiting marriage at the age of 40?
Yes.
Are you now the CEO of the organization called We Are Intrepid?
I sure am.
You sure are. Okay. So those are just the resume highlights. But now I want to go into the stuff that makes me go, oh my gosh, who is this? Maybe not just a human being, a superhuman being. Is it true that you hold the world record for unaided rowing across the Pacific Ocean?
It is true, yes, for a team of three women to row across the mid-Pacific.
Oh my gosh. And then is it also true that you were a finalist in this reality competition that was run by the Special Air Services of the British Army called SAS?
That is correct.
Now, let me tell listeners who are largely in the United States what this thing is. This is the equivalent of the U.S. Army Delta Force. So that's our equivalent of what you did with SAS with the British Army. Right. And you, I want you to talk about what you did there, because I can't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah, so that's, well, it's a TV program here in the UK, and I think there are versions of it in other countries now. And I participated in it the very first year that they allowed women to take part. So there were three series prior to me doing it that were men only. But I heard that they were allowing women to apply to participate. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And there I was in Chile in the Andes for 11 days. And it's a process of elimination thing. So you are tested, pushed to your absolute limits physically, mentally, emotionally. And you know, some people leave on the first day, the second day, the third day. You know, as you go through it, more and more people drop out. So we started as 24 recruits, male and female. And yeah, three people got through the selection. I wasn't one of them, but I did get through to the very final stages, which is the resistance to interrogation. So I spent 8 hours with a bag over my head, being interrogated and brutalized.
Oh my God. I had these, I don't know what these were, that these things that just ran up my spine, just thinking about a bag over my head. This is crazy. Who are you? This is amazing. And then you're about to do a 3,000 mile bike race across the United States.
That's right. So next year, that's my next big challenge. Yeah, the race across America. So it's 3,000 miles from west to east coast. And we will aim to do that in just over 6 days to set a new record. That's our ambition.
Wow. So the reason I wanted to run more in a clip pace through these highlights of your resume is because what you write and speak and coach on is almost ironically the topic of crippling self-doubt.
That's
and
right, yeah.
Facing fears. But if somebody looked at your resume, they would never have dreamed that these accomplishments are coming out of you embracing self-doubt, facing self-doubt. So do you mind if we focus the conversation on how did you go from crippling self-doubt to all these things that look nothing like that?
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that you've brought that up, Donna, because that is one of the very first things that I like to make very clear whenever I'm speaking to a new audience. And I'm guessing that your audience probably is going to be fairly new, or I'm going to be fairly unknown to them. And I'm not a born athlete or any kind of lifelong adventurer. And I grew up in a fairly conventional world with no exposure to strong female role models, particularly. And the narrative that I lived up to was quite limiting. And I think to some degree it did condition me for a 20-year marriage that very much kept me in my lane. And in many subtle ways was quite stifling, quite controlling. And in spite of that, I pursued a very successful career in advertising and marketing, as you've already alluded to, and then went on to become a pioneer of all things in the fitness industry, having managed to avoid movement for most of my life to that point. But it really wasn't until I left my marriage that I finally started to explore my true potential, and the experience that we just discussed with the SAS Who Dares Wins TV program came only a matter of months after I'd left that marriage.
Wow.
And it's a funny thing how, and I know that there are many other people out here who would say this about themselves, how you can both be, you know, seemingly to the outside world, successful and driven and ambitious and independent, and at the same time be consumed by self-doubt, which I was because of, you know, a lot of the narrative that was surrounding me at that time.
Wow. You had this phrase that really intrigued me. It's that you help people tap into the secret 60% that we have in all of us. Can you share more about what you mean about the secret 60%?
Yeah. So that's actually it's a Navy SEALs principle.
Okay.
Called the 40% rule, that says when you think you've reached your limit, you still have 60% left.
Okay.
And it's such an empowering thought. I speak about, I mean, lots of different themes kind of come up in my keynotes, really. But tapping into that secret 60%. And you know, I know that I'm considering myself to be lucky enough to have personal experience of that, to know that it is true. You know, when you mentioned earlier that I'd done the Pacific Row, that was 60 days on an ocean unaided. I had extreme seasickness for 23 of those days, which is debilitating. And, you know, I couldn't take in any food. It just came straight back up again. So for 23 days, I rode for 16 hours a day, 12 to 16 hours a day on pretty much nothing.
Wow.
And that is kind of testament really to what the body is capable of when your willpower and your determination is there, is strong enough.
I want to talk about We Are Intrepid, adventure-focused, you know, doubt-facing business that you run. I want to talk about that in detail in a moment. It seems to me you anchor all that you do now for yourself and for others in this concept that fear is a choice. Is that fair? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've learned a huge amount about fear and how the brain works with fear.
Yeah. And so I was curious on your take. At any given week, I must have 10, 20 inquiries about help me with my self-confidence, help me with my imposter syndrome, help me. People don't say it as self-doubt. It usually shows up as I don't have confidence, or I don't want to advocate for myself because that feels weird, or I have imposter syndrome. Do you equate any of those more business terms with this concept of fear is a choice that you're helping people with today?
Oh, for sure. I mean, for me, you know, the one universal fear is the fear of the unknown. I think that underpins every single fear and is hugely life restricting. And, you know, the fear of the unknown keeps people kind of locked out of their potential, I think, keeps them in lives that don't serve them. I know, I've been there. It's a very life-limiting cycle to be in. So, you know, that fear certainly undermines your self-belief and, you know, your sense of sort of self-empowerment. But it is a choice. And I think if you understand a little about how fear works, and I am certainly no neuroscientist, but, you know, I've delved quite deeply now into mindset theory and practice and become a mindset coach and a stress and resilience coach. And obviously through my own lived experiences, I've kind of had to deal with fear. And when you're in the middle of an ocean, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, and you have to deal with completely unprecedented situations, you know, there is only so much that you can train for and you can't kind of simulate, you would be amazed what you're able to cope with. And, you know, the truth is about fear is that our brains are extremely clever. They create all these layers around our core fears to kind of keep us out of, you know, confronting them and leaning into them. And we kind of learn to accommodate that in our lives. So there are a load of avoidance strategies that we start to employ. And I've also done that extensively in the past. And I think once I'm such a believer in knowledge is power. And I think once you start to understand that and how the brain works with fear, then you can start to override it. You can start to outsmart it. And I don't, I'm certainly not one of those people that believes you can conquer fear. I think it's inherent. I think it's always there. It's about managing it. But I think there are certain situations where, yeah, fear is a choice.
Yeah. You mentioned climbing a mountain. I want to talk about we are intrepid. So this is your business. We are intrepid helps people face fears, push limits, and take advantage of spending time in nature. And I love that your philosophy is the obstacle is the way.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a moment. What do you do with We Are Intrepid for both individuals and for businesses, companies?
Well, yeah, I mean, the concept came out of doing my keynotes. Largely for corporate audiences. And I'd have individuals come up to me afterwards, and I love just, you know, chatting to people after I've delivered a keynote. And most of them, upon realizing that I was not this born athlete, this lifelong adventure seeker, and I think quite often people box, you know, they hear the headlines or they read the bio and they think, oh, she's one of those. I'm not one of those. Therefore, you know, I can't relate. And so that it's always so important that I explain my background, because I think it does, or I hope that it does make me so much more relatable. And so I'd have people come up to me afterwards and say, oh my God, I just, you've given me hope that maybe there's something else out there for me, that, you know, I'm not going to be perhaps locked into my current life forever, that it's not a foregone conclusion, or it doesn't have to be. So how could I get into something that is a bit more than an off-the-shelf marathon or triathlon, but that isn't a three-year project to row an ocean, you know, so I can dip my toe in the water of adventure but not have to leave my day job. And for me, I just know, again, from my own personal experience, however sort of randomly that came about for me, you have to be put under pressure to see really how far you can go. You need to be in an immersive environment to put those mindset skills to the test. It's sort of to get into your mentality and into your mental and emotional resilience. You know, you think back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the very basic fundamental things before you can get to your self-actualization and your purpose and why you're here on this planet. The very basic things of you know, food and water and shelter and safety and health, and actually reminding ourselves of those things.
Yeah.
Our reliance on those things is so vital, I think.
What are some examples of these venture locations?
So the Scottish Highlands is one. Norway. Jordan. So we, you know, we go from very cold environments and then, you know, to some very hot environments. I've literally 2 days ago come back from Morocco, where I've done a recce trip for a trip that I'm doing in December to climb the highest point in North Africa, which is Mount Toubkal. So the High Atlas Mountains, which are beautiful.
Amazing.
And lush and green and not what you'd expect.
So I want to go back to something that you said a moment ago. When you talked about having this moment that you had been living in a more traditional environment, maybe in a limiting environment, how did it happen for you to decide that I am going to make a change, face a fear, not be crippled by self-doubt?
Yeah, I mean, it's so fascinating, really, because I didn't have some big epiphany moment. Okay. I think I was in the approach to my 40th birthday, and I think that is a period of your life that, you know, you start to get a bit self-reflective. And I think for me, the truth is that it was this thing that had just been bubbling under the surface for so long. And, you know, I had actually put in place, I can now say with hindsight, some really vital foundations to be able to make that move. Mm. You know, I'd started really working on my physical strength and fitness. Okay. And as a consequence of that, I think I became mentally and emotionally more resilient. So there was a huge knock-on effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just empowered enough to start really questioning how I was living and the narrative that I had lived up to, I guess, for so many years. So yeah, so I think it was a process over time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just some sort of light bulb moment. Mm. But once I made that call, there was no going back. Mm-hmm. I was on that path.
So, you know, I normally start with core values in the MeSuite, and I deliberately didn't today because I thought if we and the listeners had a chance to hear your story, we might be thinking on our own about, I wonder what core values Vicky is going to say are on her list. I want to test myself and see how I did thinking about what must be your core values now that we've learned a little bit more about your journey. Can you give us the answers to the test and see how we did?
Sure. Is this like core value bingo?
Oh, yes. Perfect. Hey, maybe I'll bring that into season 6, core value bingo. Core value bingo.
Yeah. So, I mean, my purpose is essentially to be the person I needed when I was growing up. That's what drives me. And that's what I try to use as the lens for everything that I do and the decisions that I make. And, you know, I've recently been asked to become the UK ambassador for an amazing charity called Inspiring Girls, which is just so close to my heart. So that's kind of my North Star, really. But the values, I guess, that underpin that are integrity.
Okay.
Self-reliance.
Okay.
We already touched on that. Empathy.
Yes. Okay.
Grit and determination.
Okay.
And agency.
Agency. Ooh, I love that word too. This is a great list. Okay. I don't think I did perfect on bingo.
Oh.
I love your list, but
what
I did
you get?
I love your list. Well, of course, and I need to love your list. It's your list. It's all about your list, not my list. But I didn't make an A. I had adventure and empowerment.
Okay.
I had vitality, something around this health.
I like
and,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not have empathy or grit, although some of these, like the empowerment and the agency grit area, probably kind of go together. So I'm going to give myself a C.
Oh, I think you're doing yourself a disservice there.
But
I like some of your values for me. I might take those on.
Yeah. So, Vicky, most interesting person in the world. Have you had a chance to give some thought to the MeSuite sweetener?
Yes, I have actually. I think it's such a great question, and I think it's about determined practice. So I created this acronym from the word ready.
Okay.
And, you know, because very often we don't know what we're necessarily aiming for in life. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, I would never have put myself where I am now. And how can we pursue something if we don't know it exists? Mm-hmm. How can we aim for something big if it's currently completely beyond our realm of comprehension? And I don't really believe in luck or chance.
Okay.
But I do believe in, you know, general preparedness and determined practice. And
okay.
I think that that's how you line yourself up to take advantage of the incredible opportunities that life throws at us all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't I didn't plan to exit my marriage until the day that I finally found it untenable. I definitely didn't grow up thinking one day I want to row across the Pacific or I want to cycle across the United States of America and you know, put the stepping stones in place to achieve those things. That's just not how it worked for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the acronym that I use quite often in my workshop facilitation is READY, and the R stands for resolve to take the first step.
Okay.
And remember that it's never too late.
Okay.
And the E stands for embrace fear, because it's always opportunity in disguise. Mm-hmm. And the A is about asking difficult questions of ourselves and each other.
Yeah.
D is about discipline being greater than talent. So immerse yourself in the process and master the mundane things in life. Mm-hmm. And then Y is that you can do more than you think, or that you think you're capable of. That's the secret 60% that we all have in us.
Yeah.
So I guess being ready, and I think this is something that, you know, we can all put into practice to some extent in our lives from tomorrow, from now, is about trusting that there's opportunity out there and kind of starting to put into place some practices, some strategies in our life that we may not know exactly where we're headed, and that's okay, but it's trusting that there's opportunity out there and we deserve it.
I love it. My last question. You said earlier that you never could have dreamed and never could have aimed for something that you couldn't see, that you didn't know it existed, that it wasn't something that you could see long, long ago, but didn't you see as a young person a dream to be on the Me Sweet podcast? Didn't you see that?
It was the driving force in my life, Donna.
Wasn't that it?
Of course. Of course I saw that.
I knew it was back in there somewhere. Had to be. Well, you are a gift, a true gift to us to share your vulnerabilities. And to share, as you so humbly mentioned, you're not a superhuman. You've just been very determined. You've embraced preparedness and have found a way to be very, very deliberate and self-reflective. And I think that's very inspiring for a lot of people. So thank you so much for sharing yourself and your experiences in the Me Suite. This is Vicky Anstey, everybody.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to be here and to talk to you.
Thank you for joining us in the Me Suite. For more information about our executive and career coaching services, check out the links in the show notes. And remember, your reviews really make a difference.